A bright white light shines out from the center of a black screen.
And so it is.
The screen lightens to reveal looming clouds in a blue sky. The light gleams from a torch held aloft by a statuesque woman wearing Grecian-style robes. Columbia, a Sony Pictures entertainment company. Columbia Pictures presents in association with Inside Track.
Of the time.
Giant red letters travel slowly from right to left across the screen. Closer.
And so it is.
The titles fade away to reveal a bustling pavement. Through the crowds emerges a striking young woman with short, dyed red hair. Heading towards her through the throng is a handsome, pale-faced, bespectacled man in his 30s. He wears dark trousers and a shirt and tie under a grey knee-length mac. The young woman strides confidently on, wearing a blue coat edged at the front and around the cuffs with sheepskin. Her slim legs are revealed by a skimpy miniskirt trimmed with black lace. On her feet, black ankle boots. A smile slowly creeps across her pretty face.
I can't take my eyes off you.
The man peers through the crowds towards her and lumbers on, his face expressionless.
Can't take my eyes off you.
The young woman has her pretty eyes fixed on him, then briefly lowers her gaze, the hint of a smile still playing on her lips.
I can't take my eyes.
Their eyes meet. The young woman's face stands out, opalescent amongst the grey faces around her. The man looks down at the ground as a broad smile spreads across his lips. He looks back up at her, his smile fading as he stops at a crossing. The young woman continues to gaze at him as she steps off the curb on the other side of the road. The young man looks to his left. Opposite, the young woman also looks left. His mouth opens and the man starts to run. The young woman turns to her right. The young woman lies on her side in the road. A black cab has stopped and the driver gets out, walking over to her. A crowd has gathered. His face full of anxiety, the young man kneels beside her and, reaching out, squeezes her shoulder. The young woman turns her head towards him.
Hello, stranger.
Dan, the young man, grins.
I can't take my mind.
Later at a hospital, he carries two polystyrene cups of coffee through to the casualty department. He pauses in the doorway, watching the young woman as she rifles through his bag. She takes out a page torn from a newspaper with a crossword puzzle on it. Dan observes, his brow furrowed, as she puts the puzzle back and takes out a bulky tinfoil-wrapped package. She peels back the foil. Dan looks down, then steps towards her. Unawares, the young woman closes the foil and, with a smile, she puts the package back in Dan's bag. She looks round as he approaches.
Sorry, looking for a cigarette.
I've given up.
She bites into an apple. Dan puts down the coffees.
Thank you.
He glances at his watch.
Gonna be somewhere?
Work. Didn't fancy my sandwiches.
Don't eat fish.
Why not?
Fish piss in the sea.
So do children.
Don't eat children either. What's your work?
I'm a sort of journalist.
What sort?
I write obituaries.
Dan stands looking down at the young woman as he sips on his coffee. She turns to the seat next to her and puts his bag on the floor. She shifts along and he sits beside her, grabbing his bag and closing it.
Are we in for a long wait?
Dan looks over at a dozing old woman.
She was 21 when she came in. Does it hurt?
I live.
Do you want me to put your leg up?
Yes, please.
She looks steadily at him without a hint of shyness. Dan slides a chair closer and, kneeling on the floor, eases her leg up onto it. There's a gash on her knee and dried blood forms a red river leading down to her ankle. Dan stares up at her, then sits back in his chair.
Who cut off your crusts?
Me.
Did your mother cut off your crusts when you were a little boy?
Yes, I believe she did.
You should eat your crusts.
You should stop smoking.
How long was I out?
About 10 seconds.
Then what?
You came to, you focused on me. You said, hello, stranger.
What a floozy.
The cabbie crossed himself. He went, thank fuck, I thought I killed her. I said, let's get her to a hospital. He hesitated. I think he thought there'd be paperwork. He'd be held responsible. So I said with a slight sneer, please just drop us at the hospital.
Show me the sneer.
He does so.
Good, Buster. Thank you.
Outside, the young woman blags a couple of cigarettes from a stranger. She lights one, then has a drag and offers it to Dan as they stop by a wall.
Oh. I told you I've given up.
Try harder.
Do you live here?
Just arrived from New York.
Taking a vacation?
I'm on an expedition.
Where's your baggage?
She shrugs.
Where are you staying?
I'm a waif.
They walk together.
A red bus.
A double-decker drives past.
Policeman? Or Bobby? Observe the distinctive helmet. St. Paul's Cathedral, please note the famous dome.
This is a truly magnificent tour.
It's the London the tourists never get to see.
What's this?
I've no idea.
They step through the gates of a small park. An island of grass is surrounded by damp paving stones. The young woman strolling beside Dan smiles at a dog and its owner. As they move on, her gaze turns to a wall covered with plaques, each commemorating someone. The young woman pauses, her eyes scanning the words.
They're all people who died saving the lives of others.
Dan looks around the park.
I've been here before.
The young woman glances at him, then turns back towards the plaques as Dan strides on, his pace quickening. The young woman looks moved as she reads more of the words.
20 years ago, we came here. My mother's dead. My father and I came here the afternoon she died.
Dan eyes a bench.
She was a smoker. She died in the hospital, actually.
Is your father still alive?
Hanging on. He's in a home.
You're late for work.
Are you saying you want me to go?
I'm saying you're late for work.
On a bus?
How did you end up writing obituaries?
Well, I had dreams of being a writer, but I had no voice. What am I saying? I had no talent. So I ended up in obituaries, which is the Siberia of journalism.
Tell me what you do. I want to imagine you in Siberia.
Really?
Mm.
Well, we call it the obits page. There's three of us, me, Graham and Harry. When I get to work without fail, are you sure you want to know?
She nods, smiling.
Well, if someone important died, we go to the deep freeze.
She removes his specs and cleans them.
Which is, a computer file with all the obituaries, and we find the dead person's life.
People's obituaries are written while they're still alive.
Some people. And Harry, he's the editor, he decides who we're going to lead with. We make calls, check facts. At six, we stand around the computer and look at the next day's page, make final changes, add a few euphemisms for our own amusement.
Such as?
Having replaced his specs, she adjusts his coat.
He was a convivial fellow, meaning he was an alcoholic. He valued his privacy. Gay. He enjoyed his privacy, raging queen.
What would my euphemism be?
She was disarming.
That's not a euphemism.
Yes, it is.
They gaze into each other's eyes until the young woman turns away and stares out of the window with a smirk. They sit at the back at the top of the double-decker.
What were you doing in New York?
You know.
Well, no, I don't. What were you? Studying?
Stripping. Look at your little eyes.
I can't see my little eyes.
A towering glass-fronted office block, the young woman and Dan descend a long, broad flight of steps.
Why'd you leave?
Problems with a male.
Boyfriend?
Kind of.
When you left him, just like that?
It's the only way to leave. I don't love you anymore. Goodbye.
Supposing you do still love them?
You don't leave.
You never left someone you still love?
No.
She looks up at him unwaveringly. Dan looks down at the ground.
This is me.
They gaze up at the looming office block, then Dan moves round in front of her and proffers his hand.
Enjoy your stay.
Smiling, she shakes it.
Please remember our traffic tends to come from the right.
She nods gently.
Bye.
He turns and walks away. The young woman stays where she is, staring after him. Nearing the doors of the office building, Dan makes a loop without pausing and walks right back up to her. She beams.
You have a girlfriend?
Yeah, Ruth. She's called Ruth. She's a linguist.
She raises her eyebrows.
What's your name?
Alice. My name is Alice Ayres.
A professional camera rests on a tripod. A woman peering down through the viewfinder lifts her head.
Good. I'm just going to change the film. Are you okay for time?
Mm-hmm.
Dan sits stiffly on a stool in front of a screen. The beautiful photographer turns away.
Do you mind if I smoke?
If you must.
I don't have to.
Then don't.
Dressed all in black, Dan puts the cigarette packet back in his jacket pocket and eyeing the photographer, who's in her 30s, tall and slim with a chiselled, large-featured face, he sits back down. She studies him with a glint in her eye.
I liked your book.
Thanks.
She smiles warmly.
When's it published?
Next year. How come you've read it?
Your publisher sent me a manuscript. I read it last night. He kept me up till 4.
I'm flattered.
Is your heroine based on someone you know?
Yeah, she's someone called Alice.
How does she feel about you stealing her life?
Borrowing her life. I'm dedicating the book to her. She's pleased.
She nods. Dan stares steadily at her, unsmiling. As she turns away again, he gets to his feet and crosses the studio.
Do you exhibit?
Sometimes. I have a thing next year.
Dan looks at some of her photos, which hang on the walls. They're mainly of people.
Portraits?
Mm-hmm.
Of who?
Strangers.
Dan wanders back towards the stool and sits.
How do your strangers feel about you stealing their lives?
Borrowing.
Am I a stranger?
No. You're a job.
She looks coolly at him.
And you're a sloucher. Sit up.
He straightens his back as she continues to take pictures. She tilts her head to one side, regarding him thoughtfully.
You didn't find it obscene?
What?
The book.
I thought it was accurate.
About what?
About sex. About love.
In what way?
You wrote it.
You read it till 4.
Don't raise your eyebrows. It makes you look smug.
He raises them again, flashing a smile. The photographer steps purposefully towards him and adjusts his tie. He looks up at her.
But you did like it.
Yes, but I could go off it.
She goes back to her camera and looks through the viewfinder at Dan, then lifts her head to look directly at him.
Stand up.
He stands. She raises the camera on the tripod.
Any criticisms?
I'm not sure about the title.
Got a better one?
The aquarium.
So you like the filth? You like aquariums?
Fish are therapeutic.
Hang out in aquariums, do you?
When I can.
Good for picking up strangers.
Photographing strangers.
Dan's piercing eyes dart to one side, then fall on the photographer, who meets his gaze and smiles softly, her eyes glistening.
Come here.
Her smile gone, she stands motionless, her eyes still fixed on him. Dan stands transfixed by her, his expression solemn. Casually, she steps towards him. He walks to meet her, his eyes almost pained.
You're beautiful.
They stare into each other's eyes as though mesmerized. Then Anna, the photographer, lifts a long, slender-fingered hand to Dan's cheek.
I don't kiss strange men.
Neither do I.
Her eyes flit over his face as the tips of her fingers linger on his cheek. Their faces inch closer and their noses touch. Dan lifts a hand tenderly to her neck as he presses his lips tentatively against hers. He starts to gently plant kisses all over her face. Anna's eyes are closed as he moves back to her mouth and they embrace passionately. Still kissing Anna, Dan inhales as though breathing her in. He lowers his hands to her back. The camera snaps and Anna pulls away, looking down. Dan's face rests against the top of her head, his mouth open on her long, straight, fair hair. She nuzzles against his shoulder and caresses his neck. Dan runs a hand over her white-shirted shoulders. As she lifts her head, Dan looks into her eyes. They go to kiss again but pull apart, their gazes still locked.
Do you and this Alice live together?
Their lips are millimetres apart, their eyes fixed on each other.
Yes.
Anna stays motionless, her lips almost touching Dan's. She looks down, then breaks free of his grasp and walks away, turning off the stereo.
Are you married?
Yes. No. Yes.
Which?
Separated.
Do you have any children?
No.
Would you like some?
Yes, but not today. Would Alice like children?
Dan glances away.
She's too young. She works in a cafe near here. She's coming to meet me. Quite soon.
Anna looks annoyed as she puts things away.
Why are you wasting her time?
You're judgmental.
You're devious.
I'm not wasting her time. She's completely lovable and completely unleavable.
And you don't want someone else getting their dirty hands on her. Men are crap.
But all the same,
they're still crap. Your muse.
He takes a breath.
You've ruined my life.
You'll get over it.
She pushes past him and walks away. Solemn-faced, Dan ambles towards the door. Standing at a table, Anna glances over at him.
Dan.
He pauses, his shirt's hanging out.
Your shirt.
Glaring at her, he tucks his shirt back in, then strides out. Leaning over the table, Anna wipes her mouth. Outside, the red dye gone from her short brown hair, Alice saunters up to him.
Are you all done?
Mm.
How's the photographer?
Good. Professional. Rigorous. Beady. One of your lot.
What, female?
Americano.
Dan heads back inside. Hesitant, Alice trails behind.
Come on.
Uneasy, she follows. Dan leads Alice into Anna's studio. He grabs his jacket and pulls it on as they find her in the kitchen.
Anna?
Anna steps awkwardly into the doorway, clutching a cup.
Alice.
Hi. Sorry to interrupt.
No, we've just finished. Would you like some tea?
No, thanks. I've been serving it all day. Can I use your loo?
Sure, just through there.
Alice turns and swaggers off. Dan, hands in pockets, fixes his gaze on Anna and shifts from side to side.
She is beautiful.
I've got to see you.
No.
What's this, patriotism?
I don't want trouble.
I'm not trouble.
You're taken.
Frustrated, he glances towards the loo.
I've got to see you.
Tough.
You kissed me.
What are you, 12?
I'm a block of ice.
Dan encircles an arm around Alice.
Will you take my photo? I've never been photographed by a professional before. I'd really appreciate it. I can pay you.
No, I'd like to.
Only if you don't mind.
Why should I?
Because you'll have to go away. We don't want him here while we're working, do we?
No, we don't.
Anna looks pointedly at Dan, who turns to Alice.
Right, I'll be in the pub on the corner. Have fun.
He drags on a cigarette and steps forward to shake Anna's hand.
Thank you. Good luck with your exhibition.
Good luck with your book.
He looks lingeringly at her and swallows. Finally, he turns and walks away. Anna looks thoughtful as Dan strides hurriedly out. Alice studies some of Anna's photographs, her hands on her hips.
So you've got an exhibition?
Yeah.
Anna ducks back into the kitchen, putting down the cup.
I read Dan's book. You've had quite a life. Thanks.
Anna glances over at Alice as both women move around in different areas of the studio.
You said you work in a cafe?
I am a waitress.
That's a temporary thing?
No.
Anna looks round at Alice.
Why don't you come over here and sit?
Alice is looking at a black and white photo of an elderly couple. She puts it down and, tucking a loose strand of hair behind her ear, she goes to sit down on the stool in front of the screen. She sits with her back straight, her hands resting primly in her lap. Anna stands close and starts to snap some photographs.
You live here?
I do now.
Because you're single?
Mm-hmm.
Who was your last boyfriend?
My husband.
Was he English?
Very.
What happened to him?
Someone younger.
Alice regards Anna steadily.
You've got great faith. Doesn't everyone?
Suppose so. I just, from the book, somehow I thought you'd be less...
What?
I don't know what exactly I'm...
Crouched on the floor, taking a shot, Anna gets to her feet and tenderly slides the loose strand of hair back off Alice's forehead. Anna then looks contemplatively at her subject and lifts her camera to her eye.
How do you feel about him using your life? It's really none of your business.
Anna lowers her camera and meets Alice's gaze. Alice looks away.
When he let me in downstairs, he had this look. I just listened to your conversation.
Alice turns her gaze back on Anna, who looks down self-consciously.
I don't know what to say.
Alice gets off the stool and swaggers over towards a window.
I'm not a thief, Alice.
Alice stares out into bright sunlight, her back to Anna, who looks over at her, then stares down at the floor.
You want a drink? I have some vodka in the fridge. We could have a drink. Just take my picture.
Alice whips round. Tears stain her cheeks as she looks bitterly at Anna. Anna, a little uneasy, steps towards the younger woman and, swallowing hard, lifts her camera to her eye. Her eyes glistening, Alice stares down the lens. Alice's lips part a little. Anna lowers the camera.
Good.
At home, Dan sits on the sofa in his dressing gown, his laptop on his knees. In a chat room called London Sex Anon, he's writing to someone called Doc 9, using the name DDW. He types, "Come here often." Doc 9 replies, "First time." Dan types, "A virgin, welcome. What's your name?" The reply reads, "Larry, you?" In an office, Larry, a swarthy, good-looking man with dark hair, wearing a white doctor's coat, sits at his computer typing. At home, Dan drags on a cigarette, then takes it from his mouth. Dan types Anna. Larry smiles to himself and writes, "Nice to meet you." Dan, as Anna, replies, "I love cock." Larry raises his eyebrows and types, "Your V forward." He sips on a cup of coffee as he waits for a reply. Dan, as Anna, writes, "Do you want sex?" Larry gets to his feet and closes the door of his office, peering out into the corridor as he does so. Larry then sits back down at his desk and types, "Yes, describe you." Dan's eyebrows flicker up and he writes, "Blonde, big mouth, epic tits." In his office, Larry half smiles to himself. Dan, as Anna, types, "I want to suck you senseless." With a sense of urgency, Larry writes back, "Be my guest." Dan drags on his cigarette and scratches his nose before responding with, "Sit on my face, fuckboy." Larry writes back, "I'm there." Dan types, "Wear my wet knickers," to which Larry replies, "Okay." Dan responds with a question, "Are you well hung?" Larry types 9, then a pound sign.
Shit.
Larry tries again, this time typing 9 inches. Dan, as Anna, replies with, "Get it out." Larry glances over his shoulder towards a window and lowers the blind. He then unzips his trousers, keeping his left hand on his groin, his arm moving about a little. He jumps, returning both hands to the keyboard, and types, "Wait."
Yep. What's the histology?
At home, Dan stubs out a cigarette in an ashtray containing several dog ends. Larry's still on the phone.
Progressive? No, sounds like an atrophy. Okay, bye.
Larry hangs up and types, "Hello, question mark." A languid Dan takes a sip of beer and sits back, staring at the screen. Larry waits for a response.
Bollocks.
In capital letters, he types, "Anna, where are you?" Taking a deep breath, Dan types back, "Hey, big Larry, what do you wank about?" Pausing a moment, Larry considers, then writes, "Ex-girlfriends." Dan, as Anna, replies, "Not current." Larry writes, "Never." Dan raises his eyebrows, then after a moment's thought types, "Tell me your sex ex fantasy." Nodding his head and half smiling, Larry writes, "Hotel room. They tie me up, tease me, won't let me come. Then they fight over me, 6 tongues on my cock, balls, perineum, etc." Waiting for a reply, Larry takes sweets from his pocket and pops one in his mouth. Dan as Anna writes back, "All hail the Sultan of Twat." Larry chuckles and types, "Anna, what do you wank about?" His eyebrows flicking up again, Dan replies, "Strangers, they form a queue and I attend to them like a cum-hungry bitch, one in each hole and both hands." Larry replies simply, "Then?" question mark. Dan writes, "They come in my mouth, ass, tits, cunt, hair." Larry stares at the screen.
Jesus.
Larry picks up the phone, then hangs it straight up again before leaving it off the hook. He types, "Then?" question mark. Dan, as Anna writes, "I lick it off like the dirty slut I am. Wait, have to type with one hand. I'm coming right now." Dan then types the word, "Oh, oh, oh," over and over again, his hands moving faster and faster as he starts to type a jumble of symbols, running his fingers back and forward over the keys. Finished, Dan sits back studying the screen. Meanwhile, Larry slurps on his coffee with a smirk. Still smiling, Larry writes, "Was it good?" Frowning, Dan writes, "No." Larry shakes his head and types, "Are you for real?" Dan considers a moment, staring coolly at the screen, then writes in capital letters, "Meet me." His brow furrowed, Larry retorts, "When?" Dan replies, "Now." Larry types, "Can't. Doctor must do rounds. Tomorrow, 1 p.m. Where?" Still on his sofa, Dan scratches the back of his neck, then types, "London Aquarium," and then "Hotel." Larry replies, "How you know me?" Dan glances away from the screen and thinks. With a sigh, he looks back at the screen and writes, "Bring white coat." Larry types, "Okay, bye Anna." Dan signs off, "Bye Larry, XXXXX. With a half smile, Larry writes two lines of kisses. Larry, wearing his white coat, stands in the blue-black light of the London Aquarium. He looks around him, then moves on. He wanders through to another area where a group of schoolchildren are being herded along by their teacher. Her silhouetted figure reflected in glass panelling on a wall behind her, Anna sits on a bench gazing at a large tank. Inside the tank, fish swim around an imposing head carved from stone. Larry steps up close to the glass of the tank, then turns to glance at Anna. She's oblivious as he looks her up and down. He continues to stare piercingly at Anna, who's gazing ahead, deep in thought.
Anna.
She looks up at him, a thrilled smile spreads over Larry's face.
I got the coat. The white coat.
So I see.
I'm Larry, the doctor.
Hello, Dr. Larry.
Feel free to call me the Sultan.
She glances away, looking bemused. Larry sits beside her.
I can't believe these things actually happen. I thought if you showed up, you'd be an old trout, but you are bloody gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
He looks around in wonderment.
Fish. You've got to respect them.
Have you?
Of course. We were fish. Long ago. Before we were apes.
Anna gives him a curious look. He turns to her.
You mentioned a hotel. No rush. Actually, there is. I've got to be in surgery by 3.
Are you having an operation?
No, I'm doing one.
Are you really a doctor?
I said I was. You are, Anna.
I'm sorry. Did I photograph you? Did we meet somewhere?
Come on, don't play games, you nymph of the net.
Excuse me?
You were up for it yesterday.
Was I?
Yeah. Wear my wet knickers. Sit on my face. Come hungry bitch typing.
Okay.
Why do I feel like a pervert?
I think you're the victim of a
practical joke.
Larry stares at her in disbelief.
I am so sorry.
Larry gets up and starts to move away.
No. We spoke on the net last night, and now you've seen me.
I wasn't on the net last night.
Where were you between the hours of 6:45 and 7 p.m?
That's really none of your business. Where were you?
On the net talking to you. Well, I was talking to someone.
Someone pretending to be me.
Larry looks thoughtful. Anna smiles wryly.
I think you were talking to Daniel Wolf.
Who?
This guy I know. It's him.
No, I was talking to a woman.
How do you know?
Believe me, she was a woman. I got a huge... She was a woman. She wasn't, was she? What a bastard.
Anna looks amused. Larry turns to stare at her, open-mouthed.
How do you know?
I don't really know. I might... Took his photograph for a book he wrote.
I hope it sank without trace.
It's on its way.
There is justice in the world. What's it called?
Anna smirks and looks down.
Aquarium.
What a prick. He's advertising.
Passers-by stare.
But why would he pretend to be you?
I think he likes me.
It's a funny way of showing it. Can't he send you flowers?
Extraordinary thing, the internet. Possibility of genuine global communication. The first great democratic medium.
Absolutely. It's the future.
Two guys wanking in cyberspace.
He was the wanker.
They're by the river.
I'll say this for him, he can write. Is he in love with you?
I don't know. No.
Are you in love with him?
I hardly know him.
You're sort of interested.
I think he's interesting.
No, don't. I look like a criminal in photos.
Please, it's my birthday.
Really?
Really.
She takes a photo of Larry and then lowers the camera, her head tilted to one side as she regards him. Larry turns and walks over to a helium balloon seller.
Come on, get your balloons. Come on,
lobster. He returns with a dolphin.
Happy birthday.
Come on, get your
laughing,
balloons.
Anna takes the balloon.
Thank you.
So this man comes into the cafe today and he says, "Hey, waitress, what are you waiting for?"
Funny guy.
So I go, "I'm waiting for a man to come in here. Fuck me sideways with a beautiful line like that."
What did he do?
He asked for a cup of tea with 2 sugars.
At home, Alice moves away from her dressing table where an invitation to Anna's exhibition sits. Wearing just bra, knickers and ankle boots, Alice puts in earrings as she steps towards Dan in the bathroom.
I'm waiting for you.
To do what?
Dan shaving.
Leave me.
I'm not going to leave you. I totally love you. What is this?
Please let me come. I want to be there for you. Are you ashamed of me?
Of course not. I told you, I want to be alone.
Why?
He glances at her.
To grieve. To think.
She stares at him, her expression pained.
I love you. Why won't you let me?
It's only a weekend.
Why won't you let me love you?
He rinses his chin and turns to face her.
Buster.
Shaving foam still clinging in patches to his face, he looks sadly at her, then wipes his mouth with his sleeve and hugs her.
Let's go to this thing. Then I'll get my train. I'll be away one night. I'll be back before you know it, okay?
She looks miserable. Dressed all in black, Dan saunters into Anna's exhibition, the stunning Alice beside him. She wears a sexy but elegant strapless dress, a handbag over one alabaster shoulder. Solemn-faced and side by side, they enter the high-ceilinged warehouse gallery. Dan glances at Alice, then looks across the room, seeing the serenely beautiful Anna sitting on a bench. She turns, seeing the couple, and suddenly looks awkward. Head held high, Alice walks away. Dan goes after her. Anna turns away, her mouth open. A man standing by one of the giant portraits chats to two beautiful young women. Alone, Alice stands studying her likeness, a cigarette in her hand. Smoke wafts into the air as she holds it to one side. Larry swaggers up, champagne glass in hand, and stands beside her.
Like it?
She glances at him and shakes her head.
No.
In the photo, a tear stains her cheek.
What were you so sad about?
Life.
What's that then?
He eyes her.
So what do you reckon? In general.
You want to talk about art?
I know it's vulgar to discuss the work as an opening of the work, but someone's got to do it.
He stares at her. She looks away.
I'm serious. What do you think?
It's a lie. It's a bunch of sad strangers photographed beautifully and all the glittering assholes who appreciate art say it's beautiful because that's what they want to see. But the people in the photos are sad and alone. But the pictures make the world seem beautiful. So the exhibition's reassuring, which makes it a lie. And everyone loves a big fat lie.
I'm the big fat liar's boyfriend.
Bastard.
Larry.
Alice.
They shake hands half-heartedly.
So you're Anna's boyfriend.
A princess can kiss a toad.
Frog.
Toad.
Frog.
Toad, frog, lobster. They're all the same.
Alice drags on her fag.
So how long have you been seeing her?
4 months. We're in the first flush. It's paradise. All my nasty habits amuse her. You shouldn't smoke.
Fuck off.
I'm a doctor. I'm supposed to say things like that.
You want one?
No. Yes. No. Fuck it. Yes. No.
He hands the packet back.
I've given up.
Alice returns it to her bag.
Someone tells me your bloke wrote a book. Any good?
Of course.
It's about you, isn't it?
Some of me.
Oh? What did he leave out?
The truth.
Is he here, your bloke?
Yeah, he's over there, talking to your bird.
Larry looks round and sees Anna and Dan.
My boyfriend's here.
Dan swallows.
He's here, where?
Anna looks over her shoulder.
There.
With Alice.
I believe you're acquainted.
Anna looks back ahead. Dan frowns and glances round at Larry again.
I've never seen him before.
No. You've spoken. Well, conversed. Corresponded.
I wrote to him.
On the net, you sent him to the aquarium. I happened to be there. Nice work, Cupid.
Dan turns to look at her, his lips parted.
We need to talk about this.
No, we don't.
He's very pretty.
She is very tall.
Alice smiles, a glint in her eye.
So?
He looks her up and down.
You're a stripper.
Yeah. And?
They look steadily at each other, motionless, only Alice's long, dangly earrings swaying slightly. Larry lifts a hand to her delicate neck, moving his thumb across her cheek towards her lipsticked mouth. He looks as though he might kiss her. His eyes flit over her face, and he slowly removes his hand. A smile spreads across his lips as he backs away.
You take care now.
I will. You too.
They share a smile, then Alice turns away as Larry walks off. Biting her lip, she turns her back to the room. Anna's talking to some of the guests.
That's the way it should be.
She beams at them. Alice struts past, snootily.
It's very funny.
She joins Dan, who's with a young man.
When it ends, the king...
Excuse me, I stand.
Alice gives Anna a cursory wave. Anna waves back, watching the couple as they leave, arms around each other. Anna turns back to her guests.
Please,
so?
Yes, absolutely.
Yours was the best.
Leaving the building.
You were the belle of the bullshit.
Who were those awful people?
Where do they all come from?
Why should we care?
Dan raises a hand, hailing a cab.
You get this one. You'll miss your train.
I'll be fine. Come on, it's cold.
He rubs her back, then as the cab pulls up, he opens the door for her. She looks back at him plaintively as she goes to get in.
I'll see you on Sunday.
She gives him a kiss, reluctant to part, then gets into the back of the cab.
We're too, love.
Dan closes the door and waves briefly as it pulls away.
Taxi!
Another taxi pulls up. Dan is still staring after the cab Alice left in. Distracted, he glances towards the cabbie. He looks down at the ground.
Sorry.
Why don't you make up your bleeding mind?
The taxi pulls away. Back inside, Dan hovers at the entrance to the exhibition.
Good night. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'll call you tomorrow. I'll see you next week. Thanks.
Thanks very much.
Anna looks up and sees Dan. She wanders over.
I thought you'd gone.
I forgot this.
His hold-all, he drags on a cigarette.
So he's a dermatologist. Can you get more boring than that?
Obituarist?
Failed novelist, please.
I was sorry about your book.
Thanks. I blame the title.
He drops his fag, stubbing it out with his foot. Inside the exhibition hall, Larry is talking to a man and a woman. He peers past the woman seeing Dan and Anna at the top of the stairs, talking. He watches them with a scowl. Anna glances round. She and Dan pace.
I haven't even seen you for a year.
Yes, you have.
Only because you stalk me outside my studio.
I don't stalk. I lurk. And when I'm not there, you look for me.
How do you know if you're not there?
Because I am there. Lurking from a distance.
Anna looks anxiously over her shoulder. Larry has his surly gaze fixed on them as they continue to talk. Dan moves in front of Anna.
Look at me. Tell me you're not in love with me.
I'm not in love with you.
Their faces are inches apart.
You just lied.
Her large eyes are full of anguish as Dan walks away. She stands with her back to him. He suddenly whips back round.
I'm your stranger. Jump.
She glances sharply round at him. He stares at her through steely eyes, then wanders away without looking back. Sauntering out of the building, he walks to the curb and hails a cab. Pensive, he stares down at the pavement, then glances over his shoulder. Inside, Anna sashays over to Larry, who drains his champagne glass, then plucks some grapes from a bunch.
Hello, stranger.
Hello.
Intense conversation?
Anna glances past Larry.
His father died.
Larry nods.
Were you spying?
Lovingly observing. With a telescope.
Anna pulls back her hair, toying with it.
He's taller than his photo.
His photo's a headshot.
Yeah, I know. But his head implied a short body, but in fact his head is deceptive.
Deceptive?
Yeah, he's actually got a long body. He's a stringy fucker. I could have him.
What?
If it came to it in a scrap, I could have him. Did you tell him we call him Cupid?
No. That's our joke.
They sip champagne.
I had a chat with young Alice.
Fancier.
Of course. Not as much as you.
Why not?
You're a woman. She's a girl. She has the moronic beauty of youth, but she's sly.
She seems open to me.
Yeah, that's how she wants to seem. You forget you're dealing with a clinical observer of the human carnival.
Am I now?
Oh, yes.
You seem more like the cat that got the cream. You can stop licking yourself.
He looks at her, taken aback. She avoids his gaze, then turns to face him.
That's the nastiest thing you've ever said to me.
She looks away guiltily, then covers her mouth.
It's horrible. I'm sorry.
She kisses and hugs him.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
They hold each other tightly. The image fades to white. Anna sits sorrowfully in an armchair under the eaves in a loft conversion. Her chest rises and falls heavily, her face pale, her eyes glistening. At home, Alice, in pyjama bottoms and a baggy T-shirt, lies on the sofa, sleeping. Dan lets himself in, carrying a paper and his briefcase. He closes the door and glances at her as he walks past, heading over towards a desk where he puts down his things. He looks back over at Alice, rubbing his nose. Troubled, he removes his Mac and starts to sort through some letters. On the sofa, Alice blearily opens her eyes.
Where have you been?
Work thing. Had a drink with Harry. You never have one drink with Harry.
You know he's in love with you.
No, he's not. Is he?
Alice nods, smiling.
And you eat. I'll make you something.
Dan paces the room.
I'm not hungry.
As he wanders past, Alice pushes herself up onto her hands and knees. Dan removes his jacket and throws it down. Alice kneels up on the sofa. A preoccupied Dan stands with his hands on his waist, then tucking them into his pockets, walks back through to Alice with his brow furrowed. An ashen-faced Alice looks up at Dan, who's barely able to look at her.
What?
Tears in his eyes, he meets her childlike gaze.
This will hurt. I've been with Anna. I'm in love with her. We've been seeing each other for a year. It began at her opening.
Dazed, Alice gets off the sofa and walks right past Dan. He remains motionless, then turns to stare after her. In the darkness, a black cab pulls up in an illuminated street.
Nice one.
Cheers, Heather.
Cheers.
Larry gets out of the cab and glances upwards. He takes out a case and pushes the door closed. In the loft conversion, Anna still sits in the armchair on the platform high above the rest of the open-plan apartment. She looks down as Larry comes in. Her expression anxious, she gets to her feet.
Don't move. I want to remember this moment forever. First time I walked through the door returning from a business trip to be greeted by my wife. I have, in this moment, become an adult. Thanks for waiting up, you darling.
He climbs the stairs.
You goddess.
She walks to meet him, unresponsive as he kisses her.
I missed you.
How about some tea,
Jesus, I'm knackered.
Didn't you sleep on the plane?
No, because the permed German sitting next to me was snoring like a Messerschmitt. What's the time?
About midnight.
Time, what a tricky little fucker. My head's in two places. My brain actually hurts.
Do you want some food?
No, I need a bath.
I'll run it for you.
No, I'll have a shower. You okay?
How was the thing?
As dermatological conferences go, it was a riot.
How was the hotel?
Someone told me that the beautiful people of the Paranoid Hotel, the concierge, the bellboys and girls, did you know this? They're all whores.
Everybody knows that.
I didn't.
In the kitchen, Larry snuggles up.
I don't suppose you fancy a friendly poke.
Just had a bath.
Right. Well, I'll see to myself then in the L decoration bathroom.
You chose that bathroom.
And every time I wash in it, I feel dirty. It's cleaner than I am. It's got attitude. The mirror says, who the fuck are you?
You chose it.
Doesn't mean I like it. We shouldn't have this.
I hear middle class guilt.
Working class guilt. Why are you dressed if you just had a bath?
We needed some milk.
You okay?
You?
Yeah.
At home, Alice is dressed. She pulls on her coat.
I'm going.
I'm sorry.
Irrelevant.
She sits on the bed.
What are you sorry for?
Everything.
Why didn't you tell me before?
Cowardice.
She puts on her boots.
Is it because she's successful?
No, it's because she doesn't need me.
So you bring her here?
Dan glances down.
Yes.
Alice stands.
Didn't she get married?
She stopped seeing me.
Is that when we went to the country? Celebrate our third anniversary?
Dan nods, shamefaced.
Did you phone her? Beg her to come back? When you went for long, lonely walks?
Yes.
You're a piece of shit.
Deception is brutal. I'm not pretending otherwise.
How? How does it work? How do you do this to someone?
He shrugs.
Not good enough.
She grabs her bag.
I fell in love with her, Alice.
Oh, as if you had no choice. There's a moment. There's always a moment. I can do this. I can give in to this, or I can resist it. And I don't know when your moment was, but I bet you there was one. I'm going.
She heads for the door. Dan blocks her.
It's not safe out there.
Oh, not safe in here?
What about your things?
I don't need things.
Where will you go?
Disappear.
At home, Anna sits miserably on the sofa.
The Sultan has returned bearing gifts.
He hands her a shoebox.
Thank you.
As he watches, she opens it and takes out an elegant shoe.
They're beautiful.
Here's the thing. Alice was at the hotel.
What?
They sell these arty postcards in the lobby. I bought one to boost your sales.
He takes a postcard from his case.
Young Woman London.
He hands it to her.
And I checked for your book in the Museum of Modern Art, and it was there. Someone bought one. This guy with a ridiculous little beard. He was drooling over your photo on the inside cover. He fancied you, the geek. I was so proud of you. You've broken New York.
You're wonderful.
Don't ever forget it.
At Dan's, Alice is perched on the arm of a chair.
Can I still see you?
Dan stands leaning against the door.
Dan, can I still see you? Answer me.
I can't see you. If I see you, I'll never leave you.
What will you do if I find someone else?
Be jealous.
You still fancy me?
Of course.
You're lying. I've been you.
Her cheeks stained with tears, Alice struggles with her emotions.
Will you hold me?
She looks desperately over at Dan, who goes to her. She clings to him.
I amuse you, but I bore you.
No. No.
You did love me.
I always love you. I hate hurting you.
Why are you?
Because I'm selfish. And I think I'd be happier with her.
You won't. You'll miss me. No one will ever love you as much as I do. Why isn't love enough?
He shakes his head.
I'm the one who leaves. I'm supposed to leave you. I'm the one who leaves.
She starts to kiss him hungrily on the mouth. He responds, holding her to him as they continue to embrace. They pull apart and their foreheads touching. She looks into his eyes, holding his face in her hands.
Make some tea, Buster.
She caresses his cheek with her thumb, staring into his eyes, their noses pressed together. Dan releases her, and reluctantly she lets her hands drop from his face. He moves limply past her into the kitchen. Sighing, he puts on the kettle and takes two cups down from a shelf. Opening the fridge to take out the milk, he looks back into the living room. He stares. Alice has gone, and the front door is wide open. He puts down the milk and charges out of the small, untidy flat. He races into the darkened street and looks searchingly up and down it.
Alice?
At home, Anna watches Larry as he comes down the stairs.
Why are you dressed?
He faces Anna.
Because I think you might be about to leave me, and I didn't want to be wearing a dressing gown.
Her soft features betray nothing but mild surprise.
I slept with someone in New York. A whore. I'm sorry.
Shocked, Anna ponders and averts her eyes from his briefly.
Why did you tell me?
I couldn't lie to you.
Why not?
Because I love you.
Anna gazes at him, then shrugs almost nonchalantly. A glass in hand, she walks past him across the vast space of their loft conversion to the sitting area. She turns and faces Larry, who stares across at her.
It's fine.
She sits.
Really? Why?
Larry's brow is furrowed and he now looks suspicious. He walks over to Anna.
Something's wrong.
Anna stares down at the floor. He stops several yards from her.
Tell me.
She continues to stare fixedly at the floor.
Are you leaving me?
She bites her lip, turns to him, and nods before lowering her eyes again.
Because of this?
She shakes her head slightly and gulps.
Why?
Anna looks him in the eye.
Dan.
Cupid. He's our joke.
I love him.
You're seeing him now.
Anna nods and lowers her eyes again.
Since when?
Unable to face Larry with her reply, she glances to her side, then lowers her gaze.
Since my opening last year. I'm disgusting.
She tries to fight back her tears.
You're phenomenal. You're so clever. Why did you marry me?
I stopped seeing him. I wanted us to work.
Why did you tell me you wanted children?
Because I did.
And now you want children with him?
Yes. I don't know.
But we're happy. Aren't we?
Her big eyes study Larry forlornly. His expression is intense and perplexed.
You're going to go and live with him?
You stay here if you want.
Oh, look, I don't give a fuck about the spoils. You know, you did this to me the day that we met. You let me hang myself for your amusement. Why didn't you just tell me the second I walked through the door?
I was scared.
You're a coward, you spoiled bitch. Are you dressed because you thought I might hit you?
Anna rises. Larry approaches her.
What do you think I am?
I've been hit before.
Not by me!
She lowers her eyes.
Is he a good fuck?
Don't do this.
Just answer the question. Is he good?
Yes.
Larry follows her as she heads to the fridge.
Better than me.
Different.
Better.
Gentler.
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
Tell me.
No.
I treat you like a whore.
Sometimes.
Why would that be?
I'm sorry you were...
Don't say it! Don't you fucking say you're too good for me. I am, but don't say it. You're making the mistake of your life.
He clasps her head between his hands.
You're leaving me because you believe that you don't deserve happiness, but you do, Anna.
He lets his hand slip to his sides.
Did you have a bath because you had sex with him? So you wouldn't smell of him? So you'd feel less guilty? How do you feel?
Guilty.
Did you ever love me?
She studies Larry with sad eyes, then moves to hug him as he holds her and cries on her shoulder. Larry frees himself from their tight embrace and strides to the other side of the room, his hands linked behind his head. Dan wearily mounts the stairs to his flat. Entering, he shuts the door behind him and looks bereft. Larry grills Anna, who rests her head against a wall of their apartment.
Did you do it here?
No.
Why not?
Do you wish we did?
Just tell me the truth.
Yes, we did it here.
He considers and scans around.
Where?
Anna points hesitantly, then rests her head against her hand.
There.
On this?
He moves towards a leather sofa with fabric cushions.
We had our first fuck on this. Did you think of me? When? When did you do it here? Answer the question!
This evening.
Did you come?
She looks sharply at him.
Why are you doing this?
Because I want to know.
He follows Anna upstairs.
Yes, I came.
How many times?
Twice.
How?
First he went down on me, and then we fucked.
Who was where?
I was on top, and then he fucked me from behind.
And that's when you came the second time.
God. She gets her coat.
Why is the sex so important?
Because I'm a fucking caveman! Did you touch yourself while he fucked you?
Yes.
You wank for him?
Sometimes.
And he does?
We do everything that people who have sex do.
You enjoy sucking him off?
Yes.
You like his cock?
I love it.
You like him coming in your face?
Yes.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like you, but sweeter.
That's the spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Now fuck off and die. You fucked up slag.
Larry enters a strip club. His tired and disheveled-looking figure is reflected in the mirrored walls of the stairway, which create numerous images of him. Larry, in a suit and with his shirt collar open, slowly descends into the dimly lit club and looks around him. Larry's face is puffy and his beard stubbly. He begins to walk through the club where lithe women clad in sparkly G-strings dance topless around poles. Men cluster around the women who writhe erotically in soft pink light. Larry watches the dancers avidly. Behind him, a topless dancer in a cutaway basque makes slow, sinuous movements. Larry suddenly spots someone in the crowd. He homes in on a woman with silvery pink hair. As if aware of eyes boring into her, she turns and sees Larry. It's Alice. They stare intensely at each other, then Alice turns away. A dancer, legs akimbo and standing on a table, pulls her G-string up from her ankles to her crotch. Staring up at her, Larry puts money in her garter.
I love you.
Alice squats.
Thank you.
She puts her tasseled bra back on.
What's this room called?
The
paradise suite.
How many paradise suites are there?
8.
They're alone in the plushly padded room. She sits on the mirrored tabletop, spins, and then slides off it.
Do I have to pay you to talk to me?
No, but if you want to tip me, you're welcome.
She puts her foot on the table and he tucks a note into her garter.
Thank you.
I used to come here 1 million years ago. It was a punk club. The stage was...
He looks reflective and wistful.
Everything is a version of something else. 20 years ago. How old were you?
4.
Christ. When I was in flares, you were in nappies.
My nappies were flared.
You have the face of an angel.
Thank you.
What does your cunt taste like?
Heaven.
Alice flashes him a sultry, white-toothed smile.
How long have you been doing this?
3 months.
Straight after he left you?
No one left me.
Larry lights up a cigarette.
Nice wig.
Thank you.
Does all this turn you on?
Sometimes.
Liar. You're telling me it turned you on because you think that's what I want to hear. You think I'm turned on by it turning you on.
The thought of me creaming myself when I strip for strangers doesn't turn you on.
Put like that, yes.
Alice stands on the banquette and bends over. He ogles her crotch.
Are you flirting with me?
Maybe.
Are you allowed to flirt with me?
Sure.
Really?
No, I'm not. I'm breaking all the rules.
You're mocking me.
Yes, I'm allowed to flirt.
Surprise my money from me.
Surprise your money from you, I may do or say as I please.
Except touch.
We're not allowed to touch.
Open your legs. Wide,
Sitting on the top of the banquette, she virtually does the splits. Larry, in shirt sleeves and waistcoat, gets up. He draws on his cigarette and bends down to study between her legs.
Show me.
Alice pulls her G-string aside. His eyes are fixed on her crotch as he talks to her and puffs on his cigarette.
So what would happen if I touched you now?
I would call security.
And what would they do?
They would ask you to leave and ask you not to come back.
And if I refused to leave?
They would remove you. There's a security cameras in the ceiling.
Larry looks up and sees himself reflected in a lens.
I think it's best I don't attempt to touch you. I'd like to touch you. Later.
I'm not a whore.
I wouldn't pay. Why the fuck did he leave you?
What's your job?
A question. You've asked me a question.
So?
It's a chink in your armor.
I'm not wearing armor.
Yes, you are. You know what I do. Why are you calling yourself Jane?
Because it's my name.
We both know it isn't. You're all protecting your identities. There's a girl out there who calls herself Venus. What's her real name?
Pluto.
You're cheeky.
Would you like me to stop being cheeky?
No.
What's your name?
She slinks around him.
Daniel.
Daniel, the dermatologist.
I never told you my job.
I guessed.
You're strong. There's another one out there, judging by the scars, a recent patient of Dr. Tit calls herself Cupid. Who's going to tell her that Cupid was a bloke?
He wasn't a bloke, he was a little boy.
I want you to tell me your name.
She lies back seductively on top of the banquette, stretching her arms above her head.
Please.
He tucks another note in her garter.
Thank you. My name is Jane.
Your real name?
Another note.
Thank you. My real name is Jane.
Careful.
He slides another note into her garter.
Thank you. Still Jane.
I've got about another 500 quid here. Why don't I just give you all this money and you tell me what your real name is? Alice.
I promise. Thank you. My real name is plain Jane Jones.
I may be rich, but I'm not stupid.
What a shame, Doc. I love him rich and stupid.
Don't you fuck around with me!
I apologize.
Accepted. All the girls in this hellhole, the pneumatic robots, the coked-up baby dolls, and you're no different. When you all use stage names to con yourselves that you're someone else so you don't feel ashamed when you show your cunts and assholes to complete fucking strangers. I am trying to have a conversation here.
You had a cash box.
I paid for this room.
This is extra.
We met last year.
Wrong girl.
Talk to me!
I am.
Talk to me in real life. I didn't know you'd be here. I know who you are. I love you. I love everything about you that hurts.
Her coquettish demeanor has faded and she stares. Larry flops back onto the banquette and buries his face in his hands. Alice stands over him, impassive.
She won't even see me. You feel the same. I know you feel the same.
You can't cry in here.
Hold me. Let me hold you.
We're not allowed to touch.
Well, come home with me. It's safe. Let me look after you.
I don't need looking after.
Everyone needs looking after.
I'm not your revenge fuck.
I'll pay you.
I don't need your money.
You have my money.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is that some kind of rule?
Just being polite.
Get a lot of grown men crying their guts out here?
Occupational hazard.
Have you ever desired a customer?
She moves closer.
Yes.
Well, put me out of my misery. Do you desire me? Because I'm being pretty fucking honest about my feelings for you.
Your feelings?
Whatever.
No, I don't desire you.
Thank you. Thank you sincerely for your honesty.
Her smouldering eyes look into his and she smiles mockingly. He turns away and drinks from a champagne flute. She's kneeling on the mirror-top table.
Do you think you haven't given us anything of yourselves? You think because you don't love us or desire us or even like us, you think you've won?
It's not a war.
Larry's sitting on the banquette, studying her face and breasts.
If I asked you to strip right now, would you?
Of course. You want me to?
No. Alice, tell me something true.
Lying's the most fun a girl can have without taking her clothes off. But it's better if you do.
You're cold. You're all cold at heart. What do you have to do to get a bit of intimacy around here?
Maybe next time I'll have worked on my intimacy.
No, I'll tell you what's going to work is that you're going to take your gear off right now. And you're going to turn around very slowly. And you're going to bend over. And you're going to touch the fucking floor for my viewing pleasure.
Is that what you want?
What else could I want?
Obeying his command, Alice stands up on the table. She removes her tasseled bra, letting it drop to the floor. She then slowly slides down her G-string. Standing with her back to Larry, she bends over. He gazes, mesmerized by the display. The image slowly moves into focus solely on Larry's intense eyes. Dan is waiting in the lobby of an opera house after the performance has started. A man and woman rush in late. Another man rushes out, clutching a hanky to his mouth as he coughs. Dan paces on the red carpeted floor, which is illuminated by a brightly lit chandelier. He looks down over a circular balcony and sees Anna rushing in. She hurries across the foyer and through a door, then arrives upstairs on the balcony. She and Dan face each other across the circular void, then move in separate directions to try and meet up. Dan stops, and Anna comes to greet him.
I'm sorry.
What happened?
Traffic. Do you want to go stand in the back?
No, let's have a drink.
Anna and Dan enter the bar.
You look flushed. There's no need to run. Vodka tonic.
Yes.
Vodka tonic and a Guinness, please.
Sure.
She strokes Dan's butt.
How was it?
Fine.
You had lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
And then we left.
And?
There's no and.
He stops studying his programme and smiles at her.
You haven't seen him in 4 months. There must be an and. How is he?
Terrible.
Dan gives her an uncertain smile and pecks her on the lips. Anna looks pensive and uneasy. Dan pays for the drinks.
Keep the change.
Thank you, sir.
Dan carries the drinks over to a table. He and Anna sit down.
How's his dermatology?
He's in private practice now.
Is he? Was he weeping all over the place?
Some of the time.
Poor bastard. Was he difficult?
Are you angry that I saw him?
No, it's just I haven't seen Alice.
You can't see Alice. You don't know where she is.
I haven't tried to find her.
You know why I saw him. He's been begging me for months. I saw him so he'd sign.
So has he signed?
Yes.
She looks triumphant. Dan beams and takes her hand.
Congratulations. You're a divorcee.
They kiss.
Double divorcee.
Sorry.
How do you feel?
Tired.
Dan kisses the palm of her hand.
I love you. And I need a piss.
Holding her hand, he gazes at her adoringly, then gets up. She pulls him back by the hand and offers her lips. He bends and kisses her tenderly. Dan gives her a lingering look, then letting her fingers slip from his, he turns and heads out. Anna beams and watches him go. Her smile fades when he's left the room, and she remembers her lunch with Larry. Anna's sitting at a restaurant table when Larry joins her. He sits and leans back in his chair. They study each other somberly. Through the window beside them are the rooftops and monuments of London.
I hate this place.
At least it's central.
I hate central. Central London's a theme park. I hate retro. I hate the future. Where does that leave me? Come back.
You promised you wouldn't.
Come back.
Larry's eyes are wide and pleading. Anna meets his gaze, then looks down.
How's work?
Oh, Jesus, work's shit, okay?
Anna looks mildly chastened by his response and studies him intently, then lowers her eyes. He grabs a menu and tries to concentrate on it.
Do they have waiters here? I love you. Please come back.
I'm not coming back.
She searches in her handbag for a folded document and hands it to Larry.
Sign.
No pen.
His tie loosened, he sits back sulkily. Anna reaches into her handbag again.
Pen.
Larry lays his hand on hers as she puts the pen on the table.
Give me back my hand.
Larry gazes at her from beneath dark, bushy eyebrows. He slowly lifts his hand, which still bears his wedding ring.
Sign.
Anna sits back solemnly and wraps her jacket tightly across her middle. Larry studies the document.
I'll sign on one condition. We skip this, we go to my sleek new surgery, and we christen the patient's bed with our final fuck. I know you don't want to. And I know you think I'm sick for asking, but that's what I'm asking. For old time's sake. Because I'm obsessed with you. Because I can't get over you unless... Because I think on some small level you owe me something for deceiving me so exquisitely. For all these reasons, I am begging you to give me your body. You be my whore. And in return, I will pay you with your liberty.
He smiles cockily.
You do this, I swear I will not contact you again.
Anna stares fixedly at him. Larry meets her gaze with a wide-eyed, innocent look.
I'm going to the bar. I assume you still drink vodka, Tommy?
Anna still stares ahead, unblinking. Dan's washing his hands in the Opera House gents. A guy behind him finishes using the hand dryer and leaves. Dan looks at himself in the mirror, and there's a sudden sharp expression in his eyes. Dan returns to the bar. Anna begins a smile but stops when he strides towards her, frowning.
You slept with him, didn't you?
Anna gazes at him wistfully. Dan returns her stare and waits anxiously for an answer. Reading her expression, Dan turns away angrily and walks out. Anna follows him out into the lobby. Dan rests his forearms on the balcony rail and looks over at her. He spreads his hands as if inviting her to speak, then shakes his head impatiently.
What do you expect me to do?
Understand.
Why didn't you lie to me?
Because we said we'd always tell each other the truth.
What's so great about the truth? Try lying for a change. It's the currency of the world.
She moves close and strokes his neck.
I did what he wanted, and now he will leave us alone. I love you. I didn't give him anything.
Your body?
If Alice came to you, desperate, with all that love still between you, and she said that she needed you to want her so she could get over you, you'd do it. I wouldn't like it either, but I'd forgive you. It's kindness.
No, cowardice. You haven't got the guts to let him hate you.
A flashback to lunch. Larry's hunched over the restaurant bar, sipping a drink. The barman hands him Anna's drink. Larry turns to take it to her, but she's walked up behind him.
I'm doing this because I feel guilty and because I pity you. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
Feel good about yourself?
No.
Anna strides off. Larry throws down money on the bar, then triumphantly pops a nut into his mouth before following Anna out.
It's gone. We're not innocent anymore.
Don't stop loving me. I can see it draining out of you. It's me, remember? It was a stupid thing to do and it meant nothing. If you love me enough, you'll forgive me.
Are you testing me?
No. I do understand.
No, he understands. All I can see is him all over you. He's clever. Your ex-husband. I almost admire him.
Larry and Anna are getting dressed in his new surgery.
Are you going to tell him?
I don't know.
A disheveled Anna pulls on a tank top over her white blouse. She goes and squats by a large mirror, which isn't yet mounted, and begins to pin her hair up in a loose chignon. Larry puts on his watch.
Better to be truthful about this kind of thing.
Larry is behind her doing up his shirt cuffs. Anna tweaks her hair and then stands up. She hands Larry the document.
Sign.
While Anna puts on her watch, Larry casually studies the divorce papers. He turns to her and makes a jokey, open-handed gesture.
I forgive you.
She smiles and shakes her head at him.
Sign.
Larry does, back in the opera lobby.
I think you enjoyed it.
Dan circles Anna.
He wheedles you into bed. The old jokes. The strange familiarity. I think you had a whale of a time. And the truth is, I'll never know unless I ask him.
Well, why don't you?
She eyes him defiantly. Dan glares at her. People are beginning to come out of the auditorium. Dan and Anna suddenly find themselves in a sea of opera goers. Anna looks to Dan, who considers for a moment, and then leads her away by the hand through the crowd. The scene fades to white. A street of Georgian houses emerges. It's pouring with rain. Dan, in jacket and trousers, and carrying his briefcase, runs under an archway into the street. He goes up to a grand door with a brass plaque on the wall and presses a button on a panel. The door opens and Dan enters. Dan sits in a waiting room.
Yes? You can go in now.
Dan leaps up as soon as the receptionist has spoken and barges into Larry's consulting room. Larry looks unconcerned.
I want Anna back.
She's made her choice.
I owe you an apology. I fell in love with her. My intention was not to make you suffer.
So where's the apology? You cunt.
I apologise. If you love her, you'll let her go, so she can be happy.
She doesn't want to be happy.
Everybody wants to be happy.
Depressives don't. They want to be unhappy to confirm they're depressed. If they were happy, they couldn't be depressed anymore. They'd have to go out into the world and live, which can be depressing.
Anna's not a depressive.
Isn't she?
I love her.
Boo-hoo. So do I.
She's gone back to you because she can't bear your suffering. You don't know who she is! You love her like a dog loves its owner.
And the owner loves the dog for so doing.
You'll hurt her. You'll never forgive her.
Of course I'll forgive her. I have forgiven her. Without forgiveness, we're savages. You're drowning.
You only met her because of me?
Yeah. Thanks.
It's a joke. Your marriage is a joke.
It is a good one. She never sent the divorce papers to a lawyer. Now, to a towering romantic hero like you, I don't doubt I am somewhat common, but I am nevertheless what she has chosen, and we must respect what the woman wants. If you go near her again, I swear, I will kill you.
Larry picks up his phone.
Uh-huh. Okay. I have patience to see.
When she came here, do you think she enjoyed it?
I didn't do it to give her a nice time. I fucked her to fuck you up. A good fight is never clean. And yeah, of course she enjoyed it. As you know, she loves a guilty fuck.
You're an animal.
Yeah? What are you?
You think love is simple. You think the heart is like a diagram.
Have you ever seen a human heart? It looks like a fist wrapped in blood. Go fuck yourself, you writer! You liar! You go check a few facts while I get my hands dirty.
She hates your hands. She hates your simplicity.
Listen, I spent the whole of the last week talking about you. I know all your little ways. Anna tells me you fucked her with your eyes closed. She tells me you wake in the night crying for your mother, your mummy's boy. I could go on.
A bedraggled Dan lowers his eyes.
Shall we stop this?
Larry, in his smart suit and tie, stands in front of Dan and eyeballs him.
It's over. Accept it.
Dan, who's unshaven and beleaguered, bows his head and begins to sob.
You don't know the first thing about love because you don't understand compromise.
Dan leans against a mantelpiece and faces the wall as he cries.
Don't cry on me.
I'm sorry.
He turns to Larry.
I don't know what to do.
You want my advice? You go back to Alice.
She'd never have me. She's vanished.
No, she hasn't. I found her by accident. She's working in a club. Yes, I saw her naked. No, I did not fuck her.
Well, you spoke to her.
Larry nods and goes back over to his glass desk.
Yes, I know. 1 minute.
How is she?
She loves you. Beyond comprehension. Your prescription. It's where she works. Go to her.
Larry writes down the details.
Thank you.
Dan takes the prescription sheet. Larry looks at his computer screen.
You're still pissing about on the net?
Not recently.
I wanted to kill you.
What, you wanted to fuck me?
Don't get lippy. I like your book, by the way.
Thanks. You stand alone.
With Anna. You're still writing obituaries. Busy?
I was made editor.
Yeah? How come?
Previous editor died. Alcohol poisoning. I sat with him for a week in the hospital.
I really do have patients to see.
Dan nods.
Thank you.
For what?
Being kind.
I am kind. Your invoice is in the post.
Dan smiles warmly and makes for the door.
Dan.
Dan turns back with a puppy-like eagerness and shuts the door.
I lied to you. I did fuck Alice.
Dan stands rigidly.
Sorry for telling you. I'm just not big enough to forgive you. Buster.
Dan stares fixedly at Larry with an expression of bitter sorrow. Dan then lowers his tearful eyes and turns slowly towards the door. Dan, his shoulders slumped, opens the door and leaves. Watching Dan go, Larry's eyes have a demonic brightness, which fades into a wistful expression as he sits back and ponders. Dan and Alice are in an airport hotel room.
Show me the sneer.
Dan's lying on the bed reading and sneers.
Beautiful!
You'll wake up the hotel.
Dan, who's in a white bathrobe, stubs out his cigarette. Alice runs in from the bathroom and leaps on him.
Fuck me.
Again? We have to get up at 6?
How can one man be so endlessly disappointing?
That's my charm.
So, where are we going?
My treat.
Where are we going?
My holiday surprise. My rules.
Where are we going?
She squirms as he tickles her.
New York, New York, New York.
Oh, you angel. You did remember to pack my passport.
Of course. It's with my passport.
Where's that?
In a place where you can't look. No one sees my passport picture.
He snuggles in closer and they kiss.
When we get on the plane, we'll have been together 4 years.
What about the gap?
You mean child separation? Didn't work out. Happy anniversary.
I'm gonna take my eyes out.
He heads towards the bathroom, then wheels round.
What was in my sandwiches?
Tuna. How many stitches did I get?
2! You should have had 3.
He removes his lenses at the mirror.
What was your euphemism?
Disarming. Too easy, Buster. Next.
That park. Who did I go there with?
Your father. Were the chairs in the hospital grey or blue?
No idea.
Trick question, they were green.
You
our trick question.
Dressed in shorts and t-shirt, she wriggles on the bed and settles into the pillows.
How come we never took a vacation?
We went to the country.
Doesn't count. You were off making sneaky phone calls, that witch we do not mention.
He opens a wardrobe and searches his jacket pockets.
Come to bed.
I need a smoke.
He tries more pockets.
How do you manage to give up?
Deep inner strength.
Dan, now wearing spectacles, goes over to the bed and kisses Alice's legs from the ankles up. He then snuggles beside her.
Why me?
They gaze into each other's eyes.
You could have chosen anyone. Why me?
Because you cut off your cross.
He kisses her tummy.
And this.
When are you going to stop stripping?
Soon.
You're addicted to it.
No, I'm not. Paid for this.
She fondles his hair.
Tell me what happened.
Nothing happened.
But he came to the club.
Lots of men come to the club. You came to the club.
A flashback of Dan walking through the club. Stubble-faced and wearing his contact lenses, he stares at the dancers as they twist and writhe around poles. He spots Alice in a long platinum blonde wig and looks mesmerised.
The look on your face.
The look on your face.
Seeing him, she looks stunned.
What a face. What a wig.
Alice stops dancing. Gazing at Dan, she makes her way over towards him.
I saw this face.
Back in the hotel room.
This vision. And then you stepped into the road. It was the moment of my life.
This is the moment of your life.
You were perfect.
I still am.
On the way to the hospital.
In the cab.
I kissed your forehead.
You brute.
The cabbie saw me kissing you. He said, "Is she yours?" I said, "Yes, she's mine."
The flashback image ends.
She's mine.
He kisses her and they lie nose to nose. Then Dan draws back slightly, licks his lips and looks serious.
So he came to the club, watched you strip. You had a little chat and that was it.
Yes.
He looks at her dubiously and sits up.
You're not trusting me. I'm in love with you. You're safe. You had every right. I just want to know.
Why?
Because I want to know everything. Because I'm a lunatic. Tell me.
Nothing happened. You were living with someone else.
What are you justifying?
I'm not justifying anything, I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
I'm not saying anything.
I just want the truth.
He puts on trousers.
Where are you going?
Cigarettes.
Everywhere is closed.
I'll go to the terminal. When I get back, please tell me the truth.
He slips off his robe.
Why?
Because I'm addicted to it. Because without it, we're animals. Trust me.
Alice looks agitated and rolls her head from side to side on the pillow. Dan, now in trousers, top and shoes, watches her for a moment, then goes. Alice's eyes dart around the room edgily as she ponders Dan's words. Dan presses the call button on a lift and waits. He walks over to a window which has half-closed blinds over it and net curtains. He peers through gaps in the blinds. A plane taxis by in the darkness. The lift arrives. The doors open and Dan is about to get in, but stops when he sees himself in the lift mirror. The metal doors close over his face and Dan starts to head back to his room. On the way there, he picks up a red rose from a tray on the floor outside a room door. Alice is lying lethargically on the bed when Dan bursts into their room. He tickles her nose with the rose petals.
I don't love you anymore.
Since when?
Now. Just now. I don't want to lie. Can't tell the truth, so it's over.
It doesn't matter. I love you. None of it matters.
Too late.
He cocks his head.
I don't love you anymore.
Goodbye.
Dismayed, Dan stares down at Alice.
Here's the truth. So now you can hate me. Larry fucked me all night.
Dan winces.
I enjoyed it.
He turns away.
I came. I prefer you. Now go.
Dan takes in Alice's words and nods.
I knew that. He told me.
She sits up.
You knew?
I needed to hear it from you.
Why?
Because he might have been lying. I had to hear it from you.
I would never have told you because I know you'd never forgive me.
I would. I have.
Why did he tell you?
Because he's a bastard.
How could he?
Because he wanted this to happen.
But why test me?
Because I'm an idiot.
Yes.
Dan paces.
I would have loved you. Forever. Now, please go.
Don't do this, Alice. Talk to me.
I am talking. Fuck off.
No, I'm sorry. You misunderstand. I didn't mean
yes,
to.
Yes, you did.
I love you.
Where?
What?
Show me. Where is this love? I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't feel it. I can hear it. I can hear some words, but I can't do anything with your easy words. Whatever you say, it's too late.
Please, don't do this.
It's done. Now, please go, or I'll call security.
No, you're not in a strip club. There is no security.
She reaches for the bedside phone and Dan runs to grab it from her.
Why'd you fuck him?
I wanted to.
Why?
I desired him.
Why?
You weren't there.
Why him?
He asked me nicely.
You're a liar.
So?
Who are you?
I'm no one.
She spits in his face. He raises his hand.
Go on, hit me. It's what you want. Hit me, fucker.
He slaps her hard across the face. Her dark hair splays out as her head is knocked sideways. She stares at Dan, astonished. The screen fades to white.
And so it is.
Larry and Anna are lying in bed with the lights on. Larry has gone to sleep with a book in his hand. Anna slips out from under his arm and gently slides the book away from him. She reaches over Larry and puts the book on the bedside cabinet. Then she kisses him on the cheek and switches out his lamp. Anna throws her magazine on the floor, snuggles under the covers, and turns off her lamp.
And so it is. The shorter story.
Anna lies awake in the darkness, looking pensive.
No love, no glory.
Alice is at immigration in New York. She presents her passport.
In her sky.
Alice fiddles distractedly with her ear as the immigration officer checks the printed details, which read Jones, Jane Rachel.
I can't take my eyes off you.
Welcome back, Miss Jones.
Thank you.
I can't take my eyes off you.
Passport in hand, she walks solemnly away into a crowded concourse.
I can't take my eyes off you.
Dan walks in the garden his father took him to and which he visited with Alice.
I can't take my eyes off you. I can't take my eyes.
Dan stands looking pensive.
And so it is.
Wearing his grey mac and carrying his old-fashioned briefcase, he sips a takeaway coffee and walks along, looking at the rows of plaques that are on the wall.
Forget the breeze. Most of the time.
He stops and gapes when he sees a plaque to Alice Ayres.
And so it is.
It reads, Alice Ayres, daughter of a bricklayer's labourer who by intrepid conduct saved three children from a burning house. Dan looks down dejectedly.
The blower's daughter.
Jane, Alice, walks along a crowded New York street. The image is in slow motion as she strides along in the sunshine, wearing a low-cut white vest and denim jeans. Jane's now long wavy locks stream out behind her as she confidently makes her way along the street. Men turn and gawp at her as she passes. can't take my eyes off you. The heaving throng cover every inch of the sidewalk. Rising above crowd level, there's a forest of street signs and neon billboards. Sunlight glints off the traffic, which lines the road. The picture fades to black. ITFC audio description by Amy Dilarabiti and Helen Vasey was read by Amy Dilarabiti. White Letters on a Black Background, directed by Mike Nichols. Screenplay by Patrick Marber, based on the play by Patrick Marber. Produced by Mike Nichols, John Kelly, Carey Brockow. Executive producer Scott Rudin. Executive producers Celia Costas, Robert Fox. Director of Photography, Stephen Goldblatt, ASC, BSc. Production designer, Tim Hatley. Edited by John Bloom, Antonio Van Drimmelen. Julia Roberts, Jude Law, Natalie Portman, Clive Owen. Costume designer, Anne Roth. Co-producer, Michael Haley, a Mike Nichols film. Cast in order of appearance, Alice, Natalie Portman, Dan, Jude Law, Anna, Julia Roberts, Larry, Clive Owen, taxi driver, Nick Hobbs, customs officer, Colin Stinton. Stunt coordinator, Ray DeHaan. Stunts, Mark Cass, Tracy Caudle, David Garrick, Crispin Layfield, Tony Luckin. Unit production manager, Rachel Neal. Unit production manager, Celia Costas. First assistant director, Michael Haley. Second assistant director, Toby Hefferman. Co-executive producers, Duncan Reed, James Clayton, Paula Jalfon. Associate producers, Mary Bailey, Paul A. Levin. Supervising art director, Mark Raggett. Art director, Hannah Mosley. Set decorator, John Bush. Property master, Maxie McDonald. Script supervisor, Mary Bailey. Camera operator, Trevor Coop. Steadicam B camera operator, Peter Cavazzuetti. First assistant camera, Graham Marta. B camera first assistant, Ted Deason. Second assistant camera, Sasha Jones. B camera second assistant, Alan Hall. Assistant costume designer, Michelle Matland. Wardrobe supervisor, Lindsay Pugh. Wardrobe master, Adam Roach. Costumers, Francesca V. Vega. Luann Plax. Lucy Denny. Re-recording engineer, Harry Higgins. Voice casting by Sondra James. Music editor, Susanna Perich. Assistant music editor, Nancy Allen. The Blower's Daughter, written and performed by Damien Rice. Under license to Vector Recordings, LLC / Warner Brothers Records, Inc. and 14th Floor Records. By arrangement with Warner Strategic Marketing US and Warner Strategic Marketing UK. Coldwater, written by Damien Rice. Arranged and performed by Damien Rice and Lisa Hannigan, featuring Vivian Long. Copyright 2004, Columbia Pictures Industries, Inc. All rights reserved. Columbia Pictures Industries, Inc. is the author of this film, motion picture, for the purpose of copyright and other laws. With the participation of Inside Track LLP, filmed at Elstree Film and Television Studios, England, and on location in London. Special thanks to the Corporation of London, Film London, Transport for London, the City of Westminster Special Events Team, Whiteley's Department Store. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and/or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. The Columbia Pictures logo. White letters on a black background. Columbia Pictures. A Columbia Pictures release. A Sony Pictures Entertainment Company.